Trying to figure out this modern life, it's hard to understand. Ooh, yeah, yeah. I'm running late for work, my car won't start, and I'm pretty sure I left my phone somewhere in the park. But it's alright, alright, alright. Stoic Christians on, and I'm gonna go there right now. It's alright, alright, alright. The future's uncertain, but I'll just roll with the tide, rolling with the tide. I scroll through newsfeeds, headlines full of fear. The world's changing so fast, it's hard to keep it clear. Ooh, yeah. Tomorrow's on the screen.
So I'm going to finish up Romans 5 tonight. But I've got to back up because we'll be starting verse 12 sort of. But I've got to back up because verse 12 starts with therefore, and remember the quote there. If there's a therefore, you have to find out what it's there for. So we're going to back up to verse 8, and I picked verse 8 because, well, that's my favorite verse. So I figured that was a good place to start. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get perfect. He doesn't wait now for us to be perfected. Jesus doesn't go every time someone goes to the altar and prays, every time someone prays from their sofa or driving their vehicles. Christ doesn't run to the cross and get crucified again. He was crucified one time for all people over 2,000 years ago. So while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Before you were even thought of by relatives, Christ died for you. And that means that right now, he has already died for you. All you have to do is accept it. That's all he's waiting for. That's the only catch right now is you. Verse 9 then says, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Then we start into 12. Pick it up there. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. You don't have to do what Adam did in order to commit a sin. Sin is anything, any disobedience, any form of disobedience to God. Didn't rain after it. Yes, okay. Everything's slow tonight, but it'll get there. Who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Jesus Christ. I'm going to pause there, and you notice on the right-hand side of the notes, I've got little notes written. I call this my loose leaf notes because generally what I always used to do is, I had a three-hole punch, and I would punch three holes in it so we could store them in notebooks. But it also provides a way for people to collect verses, chapters of the Bible in a fairly large print. I give some sample notes there, some example notes, but I try to leave room sometimes for people to make their own notes. But this is a good method for getting into studying the Word of God again. I wrote there, Abraham was not simply the father of the Jews. God's promise to him was that he would be the father of all people of faith. So it came down not to Abraham's nationality, which is what the Jews clung to, but it was Abraham's faith. It was credited to him as righteousness. So by virtue of that, he was saved. He was a child of God. And out of that comes the death of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who took on all the sins of the world for all time, past, present, and future. So even the sins that you've not committed yet, he died for those. They're already covered under the blood. But we became a child of Abraham through the same type of faith. Abraham believed, it was counted to him as righteousness. When we believe, it counts toward us as righteousness. And as we grow in faith, that righteousness increases. However, that righteousness isn't quite good enough to get us into heaven, so what's lacking in ours is made up in Jesus Christ. We walk in his righteousness. Another verse not to be removed from context, Paul has already stated that the law cannot now be ignored. That was in 3:31. We must never think God's law was done away with. Where we fail, Jesus succeeded for us, but we are still obligated to heed the law. We have to follow the law. We have to do what the law commands us to do. It's a requirement of our existence, of our creation. But the thing that we look at is our salvation of that where we're going to spend eternity. That comes through our faith in Jesus Christ. But just because we can spend eternity in heaven, that's not all there is to this grace thing. That's not all there is to going to heaven or living forever with God. It's just not a destination. It's the life that we're to live and the life we'll live then. You'll notice, that one appears to say Romans chapter 1, but most of them say Romans chapter 12. I take these notes, you may have figured this out, and when I go on to another lesson, I just use this one. I save it under a different name and then change the words, but apparently I forgot to change the headers on this one, so it has a future chapter, which we'll get to another time. Anyway, verse 18 says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. And he changes the terminology there. In Adam, we were all made sinners because we're all the seed of Adam. We all descend from Adam. The thing with Jesus, we're not all the seed of Jesus, but we become grafted into a vine, become adopted, if you will, and become a part of that family by our faith, our trust in him, our trust in God's word. Then we become a part of it. So we will be made righteous. It's not a done work yet. We're not finished yet. We're still growing now. And as the word says, we don't know what we'll be like when Jesus appears, but we know we'll be like him. So there's a transfiguration of ourselves that has to take place between now and then. 20th verse says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. It magnified it. It made it stand out. I've run into this over the many years a few times, and maybe you have too. Maybe you've run in done this yourself, but you can be doing something and you've done it for a long time, and suddenly someone points out, well, that's not the right way to do that, and they show you the right way, and you go, oh, okay, well, that makes a whole lot of sense. But you learn how to do things the right way then. And that's kind of what this is talking about. The law tells us the right way to do things. And there's times when, because especially as Gentiles, we have not looked at the law seriously all of our lives. We've not studied the law all of our lives. So a lot of it is foreign to us. And as we read it, that's where that carnal struggle comes in, because we have a tendency then to say, how do I make that apply to my life? Instead of how do I make me apply to what the word says, what the law says, we try to figure out how to skirt around it or make it easy for us by making the law fit to what we believe, what we want it to say. But it's correcting what is right. So what we were doing wrong before, the law says, no, you mustn't do this. This is how you must behave. And I'm talking about the law of God, not the Pharisees' laws. But that law points out that sin. It says, no, you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to live that way. That's not what you was designed for. And that revelation, if we continue in that, it makes the sin that much worse. It's one thing when you sin and you don't realize that you're sinning, but it's quite another thing if you sin and you know good and well that you're not supposed to be doing that. That's a whole different ballgame. So the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in the law, sin is magnified. In Jesus Christ, grace is magnified. Because of our sin, it makes grace seem all the more, and perhaps some people more than others. That's the natural way of thinking of things. But Bible also points out whoever commits the least sin is also guilty of the worst sin. So we're all guilty, and we all have a tremendous amount of grace that has saved us, that has delivered us and provided for us. I skimmed through that pretty quick, but that's how we're going to wrap up with the book of Romans, or not the book, but the fifth chapter of Romans.
I wake up every morning, coffee in my hand, trying to figure out this modern life, it's hard to understand. Won't stop, and I'm pretty sure I left my phone somewhere in the park. But it's alright, alright, alright. Stoic Christians on, and I'm gonna go there right now. It's alright, alright, alright. The future's uncertain, but I'll just roll with the tide. Rolling with the tide. I scroll through news feeds, headlines full of fear. The world's changing so fast, it's hard to keep it clear.